The Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, reading verses 2 through 9. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Please be seated. As we read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see that all of Jesus' miracles are directed toward others to change other people's lives in radical, amazing, miraculous ways, except for this one. This miracle stands apart and alone as unique. Jesus changes himself, we could say. He reveals who he is to 3 of his disciples on this sacred mountain. That's what we're looking at today. Well, thinking of Peter, James, and John, these 3 men that Jesus called up on the mountain with him, if we go back to the very beginning, just looking at Mark's gospel today, in Mark chapter 1 at verse 16, this is where Jesus is walking beside the Sea of Galilee, and he calls his first 4 disciples to him, beginning with Peter and Peter's brother Andrew, who are fishermen. And Jesus says, "Come, follow me." And they leave their nets and begin to follow Jesus. Right after that, they come to 2 more fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, another pair of brothers, James and John. And we learn their father's name is Zebedee. They're also fishing, and Jesus says to them, "Come and follow me." The first 4 disciples that Jesus calls. Why later on he leaves Andrew out of this inner circle? It's not explained. But whenever we see a list of the 12 disciples, Peter's name is always first. Sometimes Andrew comes next, his brother, or James and John come next. But they're all, those 4 are always in the first 4. I should say those 3 of the inner circle are always within the first 4. Andrew, I think, might show up a little later in one of them. But Peter's always first. Judas Iscariot is always last. Well, he calls his disciples in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. And then as we continue in the Gospel of Mark, we see these headlines. Now, these are put in by editors of the Bible, not inspired word themselves, but simply subtitles as I look through my NIV Bible here. You probably have some as well. And right after he calls those first 4 disciples, I see in Mark 1, 21, this headline, this subtitle, "Jesus drives out an impure spirit." So Peter, James, and John, and Andrew are with him, following him. They come into the synagogue. It says they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. I wish we had that in here. We don't hear his words. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. The people just listening to him in the synagogue are amazed at his authority. Said he's not teaching like the teachers of the law, the normal teachers, who all their authority is derived from and based on the law, the word of God, which is right. But here, something's different. He himself is speaking with that same authority from himself. Well, then, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cries out in this gathering. Now, I'm just kind of picturing him sitting right about, well, I'm just going to say, this man with an impure spirit, a demon in him, and he cries out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said, to the man, meaning to the evil spirit. Come out of him. The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out with a shriek. So the shriek there is the man as this spirit comes out, because Jesus had told the spirit to be quiet and then to come out. And he came out. And now the people are really amazed, and they're asking each other, what is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. And then news about Jesus begins to spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Peter, James, and John, and Andrew are right there. They see, they hear this, and they're questioning themselves as well with the people. Who is this? What kind of authority is this? Well, the very next verse in Mark 1, again, there's a little, call it a headline, miraculous headline. It says, Jesus heals many. Mark 1, verse 29, as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So Jesus went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, by the way, this is still the same day. They left the synagogue. As soon as they left the synagogue, now they're in the home of Simon and Andrew and Simon's mother-in-law. This is Peter. His mother-in-law is there. Jesus heals her now into the next day, because Hebrew days began at sunset. So that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. We don't know how many. All of them. Jesus is here. He's healing. He drives out evil spirits. They're all gathering. It says the whole town gathered at the door. The whole town. Everybody is there after sunset. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Wow. Well, the next miraculous healing, or miraculous headline, I should say, is of a healing, comes a few verses later, verse 40. Mark 1 still, first chapter of Mark. And it says, Jesus heals a man with leprosy. Now, he'd already healed many people of various diseases, illnesses, fevers, etc. This one single man now is singled out with leprosy. Leprosy is a skin infection, a disease of the skin. It's transferred through contact. And so if someone had leprosy, they had to live outside of the city, outside of town, on their own with other lepers perhaps, but they could not be among healthy people for fear that it would spread. They were in fact supposed to cry out if they saw someone coming, leper, leper, stay away, basically, to warn people. Well, this leper comes to Jesus. He's heard, and he's desperate, and he comes up to Jesus. And again, they had no cure for this disease. It was spread easily through contact. They had no cure for it. But this man, this leper, comes to Jesus and says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He has faith. Now, what does Jesus do? And again, imagine Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and probably some other people around as well. But now they see a leper. They're probably like going like this way. And Jesus is staying right there with the man. And in fact, what does Jesus do? He doesn't say, oh, hold on now, leper. Remember 6 feet apart? Remember that? Okay. I know. So get back to your quarantine. Jesus, skin disease, reaches out his hand. Oh, and by the way, the leper had knelt before him. Jesus reaches out his hand and touches him. Since the man's kneeling, I'm imagining right on his head. Probably heard an audible gasp from everyone who's witnessing this from more than 6 feet away. And Jesus says, I am willing. Be clean. And immediately, his skin, his body is restored. He's made clean and whole and healthy. Peter, James, and John, the others, they're witnessing this. There's these miracles that Jesus is doing, seemingly, and as we read through Mark, one after another, so many already going on, and yet then they look at him. They look at Jesus in between these, and To put it one way, he looks like them, meaning he looks like another normal human being, this 30, 31-year-old man. And these miracles are happening. We go into chapter 2 of Mark, and it begins with a headline of a miracle. Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. This man is unable to walk. He's paralyzed. He's actually carried to Jesus on a mat by four other men. But also in the headline, it says Jesus forgives. Now, we are called to forgive. And if someone commits an offense against you, you know, it's upon you, it's upon me, it's upon us to look at, back at them and to forgive them for doing that, whatever it is, to us. But why this is part of the miraculous headline is because Jesus says to this paralyzed man who's done nothing against Jesus like that, for Jesus to personally one-to-one forgive him, but Jesus looks and speaks with a whole nother range here and says, your sins, not against me, although sins are against him because he's God, but he says, your sins are forgiven. And the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, the scribes, those religious leaders who see this and hear this say, oh, only God can forgive like that, can forgive sins. That's a miracle. Jesus says it, does it. And then pick up your mat, paralyzed man, pick up your mat. Stand up. Can't stand up. Stand up and walk. And he does. And there's a lot of witnesses to this one, but Peter, James, and John are there, and Andrew, and they're seeing a lot of these miracles. Jesus calls some more to follow him. The next miracle headline, as I cruise through Mark here, is chapter 3. Right before chapter 3, it says Jesus heals, a lot of healing, right? On the Sabbath. On the Sabbath. Another time Jesus went into the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. These are the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the scribes, teachers of the law. They don't like all the attention Jesus is getting and the people following him rather than them. And now, especially on the Sabbath, here's our chance. Is he going to do it? Is he going to do this on the Sabbath? So they watched him closely to see if he would heal this man on the Sabbath. There's a whole other sermon here about the hearts of these people, right? But we're going to fix our attention here on the miracles. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. This isn't going to be secret. He already knows everyone's watching, listening anyway, but stand up. And then Jesus asked them, these people who are like, oh, is he going to do it? Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out. I'd like to see the man's expression at this moment as well. He stretches out his hand. His hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. More crowds follow Jesus. Now he appoints the 12. More things happen. The next headline, chapter 4, verse 35, the next headline of a miracle. Here we go. Here's a different one. Jesus, this is Mark 4, 35, Jesus calms the storm. Some of you know this story, right? That day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him, this would be all the disciples now, and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? About to go down. Jesus got up. I'm going to paraphrase with an expression here. Okay, that's not in the word, but furious squall. The boat's about to go down. Teacher! Jesus got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet. Where did we hear that before? In the synagogue, the man with the impure spirit. We know who you are, the Holy One of God. Are you going to destroy us? Quiet. Impure spirit. Jesus says to the storm, the wind, the waves, quiet. Be still. The disciples were afraid. They were afraid that they might drown, like might die. Now, they're more afraid. In this, call it a dead calm, a living, still calm at sea. And they're looking at Jesus again. And they're saying, the disciples, they've already seen and heard and they've witnessed all these miracles already. And here again, they're like, who is this? He looks like us. This man, he just woke up. He gets sweaty. He eats. I mean, he's a human being. And yet, he commands the wind and the waves. He has authority over a storm, over nature. Who is this? And they're afraid. Jesus says, why are you so afraid? Why? Do you still have no faith? Faith to see and believe and understand and receive really who I am. I am. They don't yet. They're terrified, and they're asking each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. That's Mark 4. We come to Mark 5, right up front, right after that. Jesus restores a demon-possessed man. This one's, you know, he had the man in the synagogue who had a demon in him. This one, what's different here? Well, he's not in the synagogue. This man is out living among the tombs. He is a wild, crazy, violent man. People have actually chained him up to try and subdue and control him. He's broken the chains and continues in this kind of rampage lifestyle. Everyone's afraid of him. Well, this man, even it says, night and day, he'd lived among the tombs and in the hills like a wild creature. He would cry out and cut himself with stones. It's like, when he, this man, saw Jesus from a distance, He ran to him. He fell on his knees in front of Jesus, and he shouted at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me. For Jesus had said to him, come out of this man, you impure spirit. Then Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on a nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them. Jesus gave them permission. Granted, the demons left the man, went into the pigs. It said there's a herd of about 2,000 of them. How many demons were inside this man? All of those pigs, the herd of 2,000, then went running down the hillside into the sea, into the water. Whoa. Now, it's kind of like that storm. The people, though they were afraid of this man but they were used to the man being violent and crazy and in the hills and the tombs. Kind of like the storm, you know, violent, tumultuous. Now the man, it says, was in his right mind. The demons are gone. Those pigs are gone. And when the people saw what happened to this man who's just sitting there normally now they're saying to Jesus, please leave. Please get away. They don't know what to do. They can't handle this. Wow. You see the power and authority in Jesus? And by the way, again, James and John, Peter, and the other disciples, they're there. They're in the background, but they're there on all these. They're seeing this, hearing this every time. Who is this? And they look at him again, and, you know, the miracle happens, and they probably get a sense in that moment, and then it's over, and maybe the next day, and they look at him again, and he's just eating and sleeping, and it's like, he's like us. He's like this human being. Last one we'll share as we before we get back to the mountain. Still in Mark chapter 5, right in the middle is a headline, subtitle. It begins, Jesus raises a dead girl. Yeah, that's a headline. A dead girl, Jesus raises. And then the headline goes on, and heals a sick woman, because there's these two stories that overlap and intertwine. It begins, Jesus had crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, also the Sea of Galilee, Lake Gennesaret. A large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. And then a leader from the synagogue, his name is Jairus, he comes up to Jesus. Again, you see this, he fell at his feet, seeing a lot of people falling before Jesus at his feet. And he pleads earnestly with Jesus, says, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus begins to go with Jairus toward his home. Meanwhile, in this crowd of people, there's a woman who has this disease that she's had for years, this flow of blood. She sneaks up, as it were. She gets close to Jesus. She actually touches the hem, bottom hem of his robe, and she's healed. And that happens, and then Jesus pauses, and there's more in the story. After that, Jesus is still speaking. Some people now come from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, who's now waiting, you know, as this event is going on. And they come to Jairus, they say, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? Jesus hears what they say, looks at Jairus, says, don't be afraid. Just believe. Don't be afraid. He's just heard his daughter's dead. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Believe. Jesus did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John. These three, when they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, the people are crying and wailing. But it's just Peter, James, and John now that Jesus allows to come with him into the room where this girl is now lying dead. They're there in the room, Peter, James, and John. They see this, they hear this when Jesus takes the girl by the hand and says to her in Aramaic, Talitha kum. It means, we have the translation right in here. So he said, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. They, Peter, James, and John, everyone, yes. Jesus gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Well, I'm going to skip a few chapters now to get back to Mark chapter 9 where we started. Miracle, 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 miracle. And in between and after every miracle, then we'd look at Jesus and say, He looks like us. This is definitely God, but it just, I don't know. Who is this man still? Normal man. But then we come to Mark 9. It says, after 6 days, that's much later from where we left off. This is 6 days from what comes just before it. But Jesus took Peter, James, and John. Those three again, with him, led them up a high mountain. It doesn't tell us which mountain. Many think it was Mount Hermon. We don't know exactly, but it's a high mountain where they're all alone. So it's Jesus with Peter, James, and John up now on a high mountain by themselves. Verse 2, second part, this one sentence just says, there he, Jesus, was transfigured before them. Jesus knew this is what's going to happen. Jesus took them up there for this purpose, to witness something that no one else had ever seen. Now Peter, James, and John. Jesus doesn't say this in the text. He might not have said it at all, but he takes them up there and is like, Peter, James, John, watch this. Look at me. Normal human being? you know, there he was transfigured. The Greek word for transfigured is metamorpho, the verb form, where we get the word metamorphosis. Meta means change. You know, trans means across from one to another. Transatlantic, going across the Atlantic Ocean from one place, can be from one form. And in fact, meta, change, morph, morphosis, figure, form, body, changing of the form, of the figure, of the body. This is a complete change. The best example I can think of that we can actually see in our own, in real life, is the monarch butterfly. You could pick another moth or butterfly, but the monarch, we can picture that one. So how does it start out when we see it? It's a worm with feet, caterpillar, you know? And you picture that, and it's got the stripes, you know, and this thick caterpillar over here. And then in between you have the cocoon or the chrysalis, where it goes in, you know, disappears for a bit. When it comes out, I don't know how much time, I forget, but caterpillar over here, chrysalis, when it comes out, does it look anything like it did on this side? I mean, does this butterfly, this orange-winged flying creature look at all like this heavy, you know, slow-moving on the ground thing? They're totally different. That's a metamorphosis. This is Jesus who is metamorphosized, if that's a word, before them on the mountain. The detail that Mark includes is about his clothing. Jesus wearing normal clothing like they were wearing, you know? The detail in verse 3, Jesus' clothes became dazzling white. You can already picture, okay, that's bright, dazzling white. Goes on, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. You get the sense here that we simply lack the words for this white brightness. The Greek word doesn't help me or mean anything to us really, but it's stilbo. It's like this flashing faceted. And when I read it, I'm picturing, if you've seen water that's, you know, slightly rippling and it's the sun's angle and you see all those multiple facets and the sunlight both goes in and the prism effect, but also the reflection, refraction, all of that going on and the glare, where it's so beautiful and flashing and dazzling, but you can't fully look at it because it's so bright. That's what this word means. It's all right in there, but now it's all white, bright. Now in Matthew's gospel, there's another detail given, the same event. And in Matthew it says, Jesus' face shone like the sun. Are you supposed to stare at the sun for too long? Got that warning when you're a kid, right? Don't stare at it too long because it'll just burn your eyes out. It'll burn out your retinas, whatever, and that can happen. Now, the sun is about 83 million miles away. Is that still right? 93? That's a lot. It's far away. And light from the sun to get here takes about 8 minutes. The light from the sun that we are, you know, aware of started at the sun 8 minutes ago. Light, at the speed of light. 8 minutes, that's a long ways. Now, Jesus' face is shining like that, but right there on the mountain, right before Peter, James, and John. I remember, you know, solar eclipses. It's very tempting when the moon's passing in front of the sun to just look because, it's getting dark. But you're still not supposed to look directly at it. They had that old, you know, look indirectly or that pinhole trick, all that kind of stuff, just so you wouldn't burn your eyes out. This is Jesus. This is him. This isn't some trick. This isn't just it's not just a show. It is actually who he is. Who is this? He looks like us. Okay, really? He doesn't. No one looks like that except him. Because who is he? He's God in human flesh. God in human flesh. And then that's not it. Then, while Jesus is transfigured in this blazing bright light, Elijah and Moses appear with him in this glorious scene. How did Peter, James, and John, how did they know it was Elijah? Well, he was wearing a coat of camel's hair with a leather belt, and he was munching on locusts. That's got to be Elijah. Moses was holding two stone tablets, and they had name tags. No. We don't know exactly, but they were talking. And in this talking even, we don't know what they heard exactly, although in Luke it gives us a detail. Doesn't give the quotation marks of the discussion, but it says they were talking, Elijah, Moses, and Jesus are talking. We're talking about his departure, which he was about to fulfill at Jerusalem. The Greek word for departure, exodus. Moses, Elijah are talking with Jesus about Jesus' exodus, which he was about to fulfill at Jerusalem. What does that take you to? The cross. That's the exodus. Moses redeemed, led the people out of slavery and bondage in Egypt. Jesus would redeem, lead all who follow him, believe in him, trust in him, out of slavery and bondage to sin and death at the cross, through the cross and the resurrection. They're talking with him, and now that's still not it. While they're having this discussion, Peter, James, and John, terrified. I'm going to leave Peter's remarks out. He didn't know what he was saying. They were so afraid and all that. Then a cloud comes down. Now, this isn't just like we've had fog recently. It's not just this fog settling on the mountain, which would happen on mountains a lot. This is the cloud. This is like, in fact, it is. It's the cloud that settled on Mount Sinai when Moses was up there 40 days with God in person. It's that cloud because it's the cloud of glory. Now upon and a canopy over them, now Peter, James, and John are in it with Elijah, Moses, and Jesus. And that's still not it. Then the voice. It's a voice from the cloud, but which means it's the voice. It's the voice that says in Genesis 1, let there be light. It's that voice that now says, this is my son. He's speaking to Peter, James, and John. Moses and Elijah know at this point. The voice says, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. That's the last thing they hear from the voice there. Listen to him. And then, that is in verse 7. Verse 8, suddenly, when they, that's Peter, James, and John, looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. Verse 9, as they're coming down the mountain, I'm thinking of how Peter, James, and John, how their legs and knees are doing. First, a climb of that sort and everything, you know, your knees get a little jiggly, jelly-like, and now they've just had that, and they're coming down the mountain. As they're coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen, what they had just experienced, until the Son of Man had completed that exodus at Jerusalem fully, until the Son of Man been risen from the dead. Don't tell anyone. Did they then, after Jesus rose from the dead, did they tell anyone? Not right away, but in Book of Acts and on, they told everyone they could. And here's, I'll just pick one. I love this. In 2 Peter, James and John, Peter writes in his second letter, 2 Peter 1, verses 16 to the end of the chapter. Listen to what Peter wrote. He says, for we did not follow cleverly devised stories. We, me and John at least, James had been killed before this time, but we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He, Jesus, received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, this is my Son whom I love. And here he says, with him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Heavenly Father, this is amazing. We witness your glory, the glory of Jesus, here in your word, and as your Holy Spirit illumines our hearts with the truth of the gospel. Jesus, who was changed before three disciples on the mountain, and Jesus in that changed form of glory and power, when you return, there will be no doubt. You will not look like an ordinary person. King of kings, Lord of lords, full glory, full power, full authority, that there will be no doubt in every knee. We heard all those people who came before you, pleading, begging, seeking healing, seeking help, falling before you. But at that time, Jesus, when you return one day, in power and glory, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess, you are Lord. In your holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.